This episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you by Harry's, for guys like you that want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now. Go to harrys.com and get $5 off your first purchase by entering the code MORNINGSTREAM when you check out. That's harrys.com and the code MORNINGSTREAM. Coming up on TMS, Scott is totally pooped and better for it.
My name's Steven, and I'm on here today.
Oh, no way. Snake eating can be dangerous.
Something smells in this house.
Seinfeld self-diagnosed himself.
AC/DC drummer wants to rub you out.
Which is the weirdest thing I've heard all week.
It's a little weird.
Big Hero 6 and Star Wars stuff.
V for video games.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
The world looks mighty good to me.
First-rate spaceman.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
I don't care. This is The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
Oh, man. Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to The Morning Stream. Pardon my voice. My name is Scott Johnson, and I am joined today by a very special guest host. You know him as the normal Monday segment man, but instead he is co-host man. It is Steven Schleicher, everyone.
Co-host man.
Co-host man. What's up?
We co-host things. Good, Scott.
Hey, you're all set with powers and everything. It's like Brian's never left. How weird.
There you go.
Brian Ibbett is flying this morning, as we had mentioned last week, and we decided we didn't want to skip a show because we already missed Thursday's lineups, and thought, you know, why not just drag one of the friendlies in here, as I like to call them, and that's Steven. So, Steven, welcome to the show, man. It's good to have you here.
Glad to be here. Good morning, everyone.
Yes. We got a lot to discuss. So, Brian and I were both, he had a different flight schedule, obviously, than I did, but we were both in the lovely land of Anaheim, California, for a weekend of good times and happy faces for BlizzCon 2014. And it was fantastic. It was the best year I've ever seen. I've been there three times. And that was 2011. They skipped 2012. I was there in 2013, and I was there this year. And I thought last year was badass. This year was just insane. I have a billion stories to tell. I will tell them over the course of this show over many days, I'm sure. But today,
it looked packed.
Oh, man.
I mean, it looked like there were more people there than they've had before.
Well, that's funny because according to Mike Morheim, he doesn't have two mics in his name. I just said that rapidly because I have a speech impediment this morning. He said that it was 26,000, and that is what he said last year. But I agree that it felt like there were more.
Maybe they just arranged the seats a little differently.
Something. It felt more packed for sure. Part of that may have been I ended up in places where there was lots of mad rushes. So at one point, I was in the, what do you call it? The freaking deal, the opening ceremonies. And the rush to get in there, we got in a little bit. We tried to get in early with our press passes, but they opened the doors early. Long story short, it's kind of like cattle being freed.
Yeah.
And you're kind of afraid for your life at first because these just people just barreling in there trying to get the best seats. We had press badges, so we could kind of get good up front stuff anyway. But this is what was great, dude. I get in there for the opener, right? And the part of the place I'm in just happens to be where a huge contingent of the Korean press, the South Korean press.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere around me. Now, that's not unusual. There's StarCraft and Hearthstone and all games really are huge over there. So, of course, you're going to have a thing. But for whatever reason, it's me and Patrick from France sitting in the middle of all the Koreans. And they're quiet. Everything's great. The thing starts. They do all their presentations. They get to the legacy of the Void StarCraft to the new sequel or the new not expansion but standalone StarCraft game coming out. They get to that announcement, they show that trailer, and what was a bunch of very quiet, very, you know, a very subdued section of the press area exploded in all of the Korean chatter I've ever heard in my life. Like,
wow.
As soon as it was done, all I heard was like just all around us. I was actually a little afraid for myself. I felt like I was surrounded by binars from Star Trek. It was great though, because I recognized a good portion of what those people were saying, because, you know, I grew up with a Korean brother who was fluent and all that. So that was cool. But there was just, there's so much to say. I don't even know. We had live shows that went great. People mm-hmm. like, of course, Brian and I were there. And by the way, if you're a patron, if you are a Patreon supporter of this show, you received, I hope last night, I haven't been able to check if it went up, but we put up a 17 or so minute, special for their ears only live from BlizzCon little thing.
Very cool.
Yeah. So if you're a supporter, you should have that by now. If not, you'll have it soon. So it was fun to hang out with Brian, but we had Tom Merritt there. We had Spags.
The Spags were there.
Yeah. Patrick. Oh, geez. I'm going to forget names because I'm so tired still. I can't think of it. My wife was there, of course, hanging out. That was great.
So was the biggest announcement then Overwatch? Was that the biggest thing?
Yeah.
Was that the thing that everybody went nuts over?
By far. I mean, people are excited about everything that's going on. Hearthstone is killing it. Heroes is working itself up to be just incredible at this stage. There's just, you know, a million things going on. The new WoW expansion comes out on Thursday, so there's just a lot of hype for everything.
Right.
But this was a really odd and very unique announcement because it's like nothing they've made before, and it was pretty much a tightly wound secret. Nobody knew it was coming. And what I was impressed with, you've seen the trailer, I presume.
Oh, my God, I've seen that trailer.
Yeah, and I wanted to talk to you about this because that thing is, I mean, if
it
you're
is
a...
mind-blowing
yeah.
is what it is. And I sat there and watched it, and when I was done, and it's the same thing I say after Blizzard releases every cinematic trailer that they do.
Sure.
Why are they not, why don't they have their own movie division?
No, they're
why
good
do
enough.
They not have their own animated movie division that is just doing an Overwatch animated movie?
Well, here's my theory, okay? Because it is really, I mean, it's Pixar level, like...
Oh, it is.
...epic. It's also, I knew it appealed to you because it's basically a hero movie in game. And this is what, you know, I've said this a couple times on other shows, and I'll just mention it again. When I talked to Chris Metzen a month ago on the show, he had basically told me what this is without actually telling me. Because he talks so much about his current inspirations being Marvel and the Marvel universe and what those some of the old comics in the 80s meant to him and what they do for him now. And I mean, he was just hinting all over the place that he was going to be building a hero universe.
Yeah.
And he did. And
it's awesome.
It's insane. It's just freaking insane. And there's so much backstory to be told. The game itself really tells none of it.
No.
At least, certainly at this stage, it's just a playable demo. And I played it, and it was freaking fantastic. But they're making a shooter, man, and it's just weird for them. The tone of it is weird and different. This is bright and colorful and not your typical, it's like dark fantasy business. Just a very unusual thing. And when it hit, it was just like, what are we even seeing? We don't even know what to do with ourselves.
Yeah.
And the place went ballistic.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
When the trailer went up, I watched it, and then my two kids were in the room, and they wanted to watch it again.
Mm-hmm.
And then they wanted to watch it again, and finally I had to send them off to bed. But the oldest, Mason, stayed up, and we watched some of the character demos where they were going through and showing each of the characters with their specialties and what they could do.
Yeah.
And then the next day, I think it was the next day, we saw the gameplay bit that they showed up on stage.
Yep.
And this game looks really good. Now, the bad thing is I'm terrible at any kind of first-person shooter kind of stuff.
I think they know this about you because the game is, once again, they have this tendency to be the easy to get into, hard to master company.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm an old school shooter, but I am in no means at the top of my game, right? I'm not great.
Right.
I've played for since Doom, and you know, I know what I'm doing, but that's kind of enough. It's very team play oriented.
Mm-hmm.
You can be very smart with how you combine your team, but you also don't have to do that. I mean, you could all go out as the same guy and still compete pretty well.
Oh, really? Okay.
But there are things in it that I feel like will benefit those who feel less than a high level of prowess in this area. So
well,
I think you're going to be fine. I think you'll like it.
It looks like, based on the Twitter conversations that were going on yesterday, I am on a team with the Trek Nerd.
Oh, great.
And possibly not Patrick and a couple of other people, and we're going to be the awful players.
That's great. Yeah, because Patrick sucks too. Let's put that out there.
Yeah.
Just throw it out there. I got to play on a team with me, Terpster, Dills, and Sips from the Yogs cast, and I forgot who the other guy is. I think we were 5-on-5. And we won one match, lost the other one, and we had so much freaking fun. And the game feels finished. It's not, but it is. You know how they are over there.
Yeah. Well, the beta, I signed up for the beta this morning.
Yep, January,
right? So hopefully I can get in on that right away.
Yeah. If the beta's in January, I predict summer or fall release for the full game is my guess.
Oh, definitely by summer.
But back to the whole point of this Hero Universe, and if you haven't seen the trailer, you need to see it. It's just special. It makes you want a movie. But here's what I think they're going to do. I think knowing what I know about Metzen and having hung out a bunch of time with him over the weekend in the bar and then off kind of by ourselves where nobody was, I get the feeling that he is so invested in what this story is that they, even though they're saying on the game front, we're not so much, showing story in the game and blah, blah, blah. He's going to figure out a way to do it because that's the way that guy is. So this is a complete guess on my part. I know no insider information, but if I had to guess, I bet they secure some kind of deal with like Netflix, probably Netflix, because that's where you'd want to do this. And they tell the story via films that they are going to put out. Maybe they may be only an hour or something, or they may be smaller and spread out. I don't think it'd be like a TV show where it's seasons or something. I think it would be like standalone, maybe hour long. Think like a DC Direct type.
Yeah. Okay. Things. I see what you're saying, because I was like, man, if they were going to go movies, why don't they just go with Legendary, who they've already got World of Warcraft set up with?
That's true. And those guys were all up in that documentary. And I think that whole Legendary friendship is deeper than we all think. So that's entirely possible. They could produce it. But it's ripe for it. I mean, I would watch that right now.
I would too. Even if it is just, here's what took place before that trailer occurred.
Yeah.
Where the whole setup where they are literally going around and trying to stabilize all the countries.
Mm-hmm.
I would watch that. I would pay to watch that. If it was Netflix Direct, that's great. Mm-hmm. If it were, buy it as a standalone movie like what Warner Brothers is doing, I'd buy that.
Yep.
Heck, even if it was a full-blown movie, I'd go see it.
Yeah, and there's a real, how do I put this? The characters are very interesting and unique and varied. Mm-hmm. There's nothing samey about any of them.
Right.
They're all really different from each other. I played that Reaper guy a lot.
Oh, looks really cool. He's a multi-shot.
He's a badass.
Yeah.
He's better at close range, which makes me a little sucky with him because I got to kind of get in there. And there were a lot of people playing snipers on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
But, he's awesome. The Big Ape is great. And he's basically Beast in this.
Right.
In a lot of ways. And there's, what's that other comic? It's like Six Gun Gorilla. Is that the one?
Oh, yeah. There is one called Six Gun Gorilla,
There's some stuff there. You can feel some inspiration there. But it feels, on the whole, very unique, very new, and very like, I want more of this, and why the hell can't I get more of this right now? It's fantastic, dude. Ugh, it was really great. Anyway, the whole weekend was amazing. I spent a lot of time just screaming and trying to get heard in weird bars and things like that. But I got to tell you this one story.
Okay.
So Steven, you should feel lucky because I'm letting this one spill because it may be the worst of the weekend.
Okay.
I get up Sunday. We're a little bit weird. The only two flights we could get Sunday out were either crack of dawn morning or very late last night.
Yeah.
And we didn't want to do the late last night because I knew I had a ton to put up and get ready for in this show in the morning and just it's too much. So I'm like, I need that time. So we had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Ugh.
Yeah. After being up till 2, mind you.
Ugh.
So we're up till 2 in the bar. Again, I don't even drink. So I'm just down there yelling and talking and shaking hands and meeting people and stuff. And then you go to bed, your brain's on fire, so you can't really sleep. But then you finally kill off at about, 10 to 3. So we get an hour and 10 minutes of sleep. Wake up dead, just dead tired.
Yeah.
Go downstairs, got all our stuff pre-packed, so we were ready to go. It's not like we were scrambling or anything. We get downstairs and get the car brought around and get ready to go to the airport, and it's dark outside. And there's a few people janitor people and cleaning people kind of milling around. We get down there, and I thought, it's a ways to the airport. I need to go use the bathroom before we go. So I'm going to run down to this main floor bathroom that I'd used the day before. It's fine. It was a fine bathroom, lots of urinals and stalls and sinks and it's a big Hilton. And I'm thinking, that'll be no problem. I'll go in there. That'll be great. So I go running down there, find it, go inside. And I am greeted by what I can only describe as a true and living hellscape. I've never seen anything this bad in my life. Like, paper everywhere, broken beer bottles in there.
Oh my gosh.
Red cups, you know, like the college the drinking. Cups, yeah, yeah, those things. They're everywhere. There are things spilled everywhere. This one of the sinks was full of what looked like, I don't even want to describe, I don't even want to know what that was filled with. But it wasn't going down. I know that.
Was it frothy?
It was a little frothy.
Oh boy.
I'm sure it was a nice fresh beer.
<I'm>
Let's
sure.
just hope it was. The mirrors were covered in like man hand prints, like big prints of hands everywhere. I don't know
was
why
it like
that
some
would be.
High school prom going on or
That's
something?
What this felt like. It felt like it was like a post-apocalyptic nightmare. It was so bad. And I trying to find a urinal that isn't destroyed. I mean, they're all gross. There's stuff hanging off the urinals. There was a hat in one of them, a glove in another one. Like, just the debauchery of mankind presented and writ large for me in this bathroom. And you can't walk anywhere without stepping on something wet, gooey, stringy, gross, whatever. So I think, you know what? I'm going to pee in one of these stalls here. I'm going to open one of these doors, and I'm going to have better luck.
Don't do it.
Oh, no. So I open up first one. What am I greeted with? An overflowing nightmare. I shut that one. I don't even know what. I don't want to tell you what I saw there. All I know is the many colors of the rainbow were represented, and I was not interested. So I shut that one. I open the next one. There's a guy in there with his face.
I'm trying to sleep in here, Scott Johnson. Yeah,
basically, there's a guy in there with his face on the seat. And his arms down, laying. I mean, he may have been dead for all I know, but I could see him breathing. So I was like, whatever. Good luck to you. So I leave that guy in there. I go to the next one. There's yak everywhere. Somebody barely, didn't really make it. And of course, too drunk to clean himself up. And there's just barf everywhere. I go to the like last stall. It's like the handicap one.
Yeah.
And it's just enough that I felt like I could maybe close my eyes and go for it. And so I did. I can't believe humanity sometimes.
Ugh, that is disgusting.
Like, what the H, dude?
I always either wait and go at the airport.
Yeah.
Or I just hold it until I get home.
Well, usually that's what I'll do. Because I'm like, you know, if I'm on this plane and I'd had too much ginger ale and I got to pee, it's like, all right, I'm just going to suck it up and just not worry about it. But I was like, you know, I'm here. I kind of got to go. I should have gone in the room. What was I thinking? It's just 4 a.m. I'm tired. Everything's blurry. I don't know what's going on. And I walked out of there thinking, I feel like I should say to these people, that is you have, it's like Jeffrey Dahmer's mind is in there. Like, it was so bad. And I'll never go in that bathroom again. I think next time I go, I think I'm avoiding it. It was awful.
I think I've not seen a bathroom that bad, the way you're describing it, since college.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I wonder if the ladies...
a really bad bar.
Well, you know how the ladies' rooms are always cleaner in my estimation? Yeah. They're better?
Yes.
I was tempted to, as when I left, is to just peek in there. Let me see what's going on in there. I didn't do it, but I wanted to, because my guess is it probably smells like flowers and looks fine, because that's how it usually goes. And guys are pigs. But my gosh, dude, that was just a frightening thing. So there you go. Story number one from BlizzCon. There'll be more coming up on future shows. Don't you worry.
Oh, all week this week. Huh?
I saw some stuff. There were things that were seen that cannot be unseen. Tomorrow I might talk about food trucks and one of them in particular. So there's a little teaser for you. Steven, it's great to have you on the show, man. You know how this works. We're going to call Daryl.
Yes.
And he is going to spend a little time with us.
Scott, have you ever wondered what it would look like as a dead red shirt?
I have always wondered what it might look like, now that you ask.
Well, here's the good thing. You don't have to wonder, because all you have to do is head over to the Red Shirt Diaries Season 2 Indiegogo campaign, and you can receive a perk that will see your face and name on screen as Vincent Williams mourns your passing. Go to bit.ly/redshirtdiaries, all lowercase, and die for Starfleet today.
Listen to you. You're like a pro, because I can hear you stifling that cough. I'm impressed, man.
I'm trying.
I'm totally impressed. All right, here we go. Let's roll. Stump a Trek nerd, and you already told me what it's brought by. It's brought to you by that thing Steven said.
Red Shirt Diaries. Go check them out.
Go check them out. They're great. We love them. Coming soon to, or me and Brian coming soon to that. We're in
Definitely.
That next season. If their Kickstarter kicks off, so go over there, GoFundMe.
They hit it. They hit it in 3 days.
Indiegogo, sorry. I keep saying Kickstarter. Well, good. Stretch goals ahoy is what I say.
Yep.
Speaking of stretch,
Brian on there.
Speaking of stretch goals, Daryl Skeels is on the line. Hello, Daryl.
Hello.
Hello. Hey, Daryl, you would have had fun at BlizzCon, I think.
Oh, yeah. Right. It seemed like a nerdtacular thing all over again.
It kind of is. I mean, that's who was, I mean, that's the kind of people that go now, and our guild hall was super awesome, and there was lots of, you know what, the thing that blows me away about these events is how much spawn comes from something like, say, the instance. Like, you get there and realize, oh, this guild, those two other guilds, those five other shows, that bevy of people, all of these guys over here, it all started from like some weird, like, I listened to the instance in 08 and decided to start my own show or whatever, and then it just kind of spreads and spreads and spreads and spreads. I mean, I don't think Blizzard even has any idea the kind of, you know, seeds they plant that then are picked up by, you know, dumb people like me and then brought to some bear, you know? That's not even a word. Yeah. What does that even mean, a bear? Well, it's a word, but it made no sense. That's how it goes. And I've not had a thing affect my voice like this in a very long time. Yesterday, I could barely talk. Today, it's a little better. Thank goodness. But, Daryl, it's good to have you. Somebody actually mentioned you over the weekend, and I cannot remember the context, but it was there was some TMS thing, Star Trek thing, something, and I don't remember. So aren't you glad?
Why do you let that dumb guy on? Get rid of that guy.
Get rid of that guy you have on that Star Trek segment. No, I said.
The co-host today.
I said no. Well, Daryl, it's fun to be here. Good to have you back, and let's do a stuff a Trek nerd thing. We have no food today, but we have some on the way. I've got a bunch of emails that went out, and expect that soon. We have a mashup from Mike. I don't know what this is going to be about. I'm guessing testicles, but let's find out together.
Lick the brown dust, man.
Yeah, balls.
I guess so. Balls. More balls. Balls.
Suck on it, Tadpool.
She can't, in her words, cut a bitch until noon. Or in June. Until noon.
I liked holes.
That's a nut.
The pink is good.
Colon commander.
What are you doing back here?
That's the one where, what's her name, that feels her body. I just call it a salt monster.
All right.
And when I get salt cravings, I stick three fingers out like I am the salt monster.
Wow, that was a Daryl heavy deal. I like that a lot. All right, nicely done, Mike. Thank you for sending that. Daryl is the Trek nerd, comes on the show, does Star Trek trivia. And we like it. It's fun. And here's one for you. It's an original series episode thing. Wouldn't you say it's your specialty?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yep. Fair enough. In the original series episode, let me start that again. The fart sound is the notice that I have to back up. In the original series episode, the immunity syndrome. Immunity? The Enterprise encounters a giant single-celled organism that threatens entire galaxy, as he wrote it here. If it reproduces, a shuttle is sent into the organism to take some readings. What piece of equipment does Dr. McCoy suggest they use to help take these readings? Here are your possible answers. One of four. Enzyme recorder. Detronal scanner.
Oh, no, it's not that.
Biofunction monitor. Huh? Or D, the biocomputer. Computer. Still one of the worst moments in Star Trek history. I know people laughed at the time, but when Scotty picks up the Macintosh mouse in Star Trek 4 and says, computer, and starts talking into it, that tells me that he's not the engineer we all thought he was, because he should know that 20th century technology included mice on computers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that would have been class number one in Scotty College, or whatever he went to.
Scotty College.
It's where you train your dog to, I don't know, play fetch. Daryl, there's your answers. There's your possibilities. Let's see how you do. Before that, though, do we have a birthday?
We do. That would be, and hopefully I pronounce it right, Vincent Schiavelli?
I don't give a shit.
That's right.
All right, that sounds good. Well, let me guess. That name has an old-style name to it, so I'm going to guess TOS actor.
No.
Damn it.
TNG. He was the holographic arms dealer in Arsenal of Freedom.
That's the one with they'd go outside and they would have those hovering gun robots and they would get better every time they came out.
Yeah, the little flying football things.
Yeah, and because the first time Data shot it with like a phaser and it exploded, and then the next set was like more powerful because it learned from the last.
Yeah,
I feel like that was the basis for the Borg, don't you?
Yeah, it kind of was.
Yeah, because the whole deal
with that guy.
Yeah,
that guy was the ghost in Ghost.
Oh, the big curly hair and the big nose, yeah, and that stuff. Guy. And, oh, and
fast. He was in Fast Times at Ridgemont mm-hmm. High.
He died, right?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Wow. Give me his name again. Vincent what?
Schiavelli. S-C-H.
Schiavelli. Let me see if we can find a little clip of this guy. Yeah, here we go. Here's Vincent. All right, he's good. Here he is in the Matrix 2, I guess. I know, this is Ghost.
Hey.
Yep, there he is. Okay, he's going to talk now.
Get off my train!
Yeah.
No. Get off! Get off! Get off! Get off! Get off!
You know, Ghost is weird. I don't think it holds up.
I haven't watched it in a long time.
I'm just putting it out there. It's not sexy in that one part either. It never was. You know, the whole sitting there.
The clay part.
Yeah, the clay part. It's not. It's weird. Like, go watch it again. Yeah. Everybody.
What are you doing? You're ruining my pottery. What are you doing?
I feel like people remember it wrong, or there's, like, my wife thinks it's all romantic, and I think it's creepy and weird. I don't like it.
Especially
anyway.
When Whoopi Goldberg and Demi make out.
I know, right? Gross. Who wants to do that? She doesn't have any eyebrows. Come on now. Daryl, shite. What do we? Okay, yeah, happy birthday. There's no food, so screw that. Unless you didn't get anything, did you? New?
No, okay. no new stuff.
All right, fair enough. And all Steven has to eat are lozenges.
Cough drops.
Yeah. That's no good
for you.
I got
some of those. Like, we could compare cough drops.
Is it the time to get sick this time of year, you know?
Yeah.
Is it? Yeah.
Okay, this is a good segue to something I wanted to mention. I have long believed, and still do, that the best way to avoid con flu, like everybody getting sick at a convention of some sort, is
stay
not
away from
to...
Ricardo Montalban.
Well, that and also dead. And also to never touch your face, like ever.
Yes.
Like not even once. Don't even touch, don't go near it. Don't do it. If you got an itch, just freaking live with it or grab a sleeve and do it or something. But just stay away from your face with your hands. Especially if you're somebody who's walking around the con and gets stopped every 3 feet and wants to shake your hand and take pictures of you. So you just want to just never touch your freaking face. I have yet, since employing that idea, to get sick at any of these things where I shake a ton of hands. And there are other people already saying, oh, I've got my chest is all blah, whatever, that I just saw the other day. But I never touched my face, not even one time. And I swear to you, I don't have any kind of symptoms or nothing. I'm good. I'm not going to get sick ever again if I just don't touch my face. Because you know how it works, right? Germs on the hands, they jump, and they get into your face.
Or you just put them there.
Listen to Dr. Johnson here talking. Anyway, and I watch people touch their face. Like in that bar, there's a lot of face touching because they're drunk and they're not paying attention, right?
Yeah.
They're just bleh, 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 blotting their head and their face. And then I just like, you guys, I'll see you in the ER, buddy. Anyway, and we're getting...
Although if they wash their hands and their drinks, it would probably help a lot, though.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I'm getting a flu shot tomorrow, so that's exciting.
Oh, good, yeah.
Yeah, tis the season.
Yeah, I did that.
Yeah. Anybody not doing it? Steven, you're getting one?
I don't do it. My kids do it. My wife does it. My wife has to do it because of her work.
Mm.
Kids do it just because.
Mm-hmm.
I refuse to do it, and everybody still gets sick.
Now, why do you refuse? I'm curious. Why do you refuse?
I'm not a big needle fan.
Ah,
I know it's only just a real quick prick,
mm-hmm.
and I know you can do the... inhaler one, but
by the way, that was my name in high school for a while. My nickname was Real Quick Prick. But yeah, no, I get it. Needles are. See, when someone says to me, "Why do you not get the flu shot?" and they say, "I just cannot do needles." I go, "Oh, okay, yeah, I get it." But when people go, "Cause the Illuminati doesn't want you to get those shots because they're putting nanobots in there to tell the universe, you know, whatever that kind of stuff," then I'm like pissed at them. But Steven, I get the shot thing. I don't.
You know, it's even worse because, like, every 3 months I have to go in and have my blood tested because of my thyroid. And, you know, they've got an even bigger needle for that. So it's like, whoa.
Yeah. I hate that word thyroid, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
I know it's a non sequitur, but I just always hated that word. Thyroid.
It's like an alien race.
It does, right? The thyroid.
The thyroid.
Captain, the thyroid has joined the are on the ship. What are they saying?
Zert.
All right. It sounded like you improv that. That's one of my favorite part of that. back to the question here. Happy birthday to that dude, and may he ever haunt the train, I guess, now that he's dead. That's terrible. All right, Daryl, Why don't you tell us which one of these things McCoy said they take for these readings? The enzyme recorder, the detronal scanner, the biofunction monitor, or the biocomputer?
I'm pretty sure it was A, but I remember D. D was used, I think, somewhere in there, but I'm going to say A.
You're going to say A. All right, he says enzyme recorder. Let's find out from the judges if he is correct. Is he? Oh.
Congratulations.
Oh.
You're a winner.
Well, that's fantastic. He suggests they use the enzyme recorder. This piece of equipment would read the enzymes of a life form. Here is a clip of Spock and McCoy talking about this right now. Here you go.
You'll need readings on three light wavelengths from the enzyme recorder.
I am familiar with the equipment, Doctor. We're wasting time. The shuttlecraft is ready.
You're determined not to let me share in this, aren't you?
This is not a competition, Doctor. Whether you understand it or not, grant me my own kind of dignity.
Falcon dignity? How can I grant you what I don't understand?
Then employ one of your own superstitions. Wish me luck.
You know, any chance they could to fight, they would just do that, wouldn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It seemed like it seems like that's less of an issue in the movies. They don't do it as much. I mean, I know they kind of hint at it. And, well, I guess there's been big conflicts in that first one, but it's not the same. In fact, it's more Kirk and Spock who seem to argue. Don't you think? Because I don't feel like the new McCoy is squaring off with Spock all that often.
Oh, no.
He wasn't as grumpy.
Yeah, what the hell? What's going on with that? How about a little throwback to the old days, man? That's all I'm saying.
What are you eating?
Nothing right now.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Did McCoy sound extra drunky in that clip?
He did sound a little drunky, didn't he? The guy was known to put down some whiskey. He was,
Yeah, he's an old country doctor. That's what they do.
That's right. Well, speaking of old country doctors, Daryl is the Trek nerd. He is also on This Week in Trek, thisweekintrek.com, and the Grumpy Cast. Daryl, let's play a little game. What is it today? It's some trivia for me and Steven. What is it?
Okay, let's just keep going with what we were doing last week. Star Trek background character or actual cat breed?
Oh, all right. Go. Do I have a theme? I do have a theme. Here you go. Hold on. How about, ooh, don't do that. How about this right here? Okay, this is a good one.
What has Christ got to do with an energy drink, let alone the name Monster?
Okay. Oh, why is that playing? Stop. Okay. Sheesh. I do apologize. All right. There's your theme. Give it to us.
Okay. Korat.
Korat. Korat. It's Korat. A cat or a Star Trek being or thing?
Star Trek background character or actual cat breed?
All right, Steven.
I think I'm going to go with actual cat breed.
I'm going to... it feels so Star Trek that I think you're right because it's too obvious Star Trek. It's got to be cat. So I'm going to agree with Steven and say cat breed.
Well, now Steven sounds pretty certain.
He does.
He should be because it's a slate gray short hair cat.
I see. Thailand. Look at the brain on Steven. Brian, the die has been cast. You're whatever, something like that. What would Brian say right now?
His pubis.
That's what he'd say. Here's the news.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Oh, it's the news, and it's brought to you by.
Sponsored by Kefis on YouTube, a YouTube channel about a legally blind gamer and his misadventures in World of Warcraft and the occasional other random game. Just search for The Kefis, K-E-P-H-A-S, on YouTube to learn more.
He used to send instance segments back in the day.
Oh, okay.
That guy. He'd say, something, 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 this is Kefis. So you should do this in World of Warcraft. I don't remember what the segments were, but they were great. They were so good I forgot them. Hey, looky here. We got the news. Let's dive right in here. This is dumb. There's a man who will be swallowed whole by an anaconda and who will do it willingly.
I think it's already been done.
Is this done?
It's done. And then they're going to air the show on December 7th.
Oh gosh. Well, here's the article. For most of us, it would be a nightmare, but this man's dream is to be swallowed whole by an anaconda because his anaconda will. that's terrible. it's because his great dream has come true. Paul Rosalie, a naturalist and wildlife filmmaker, made a custom-built snake-proof suit. So he's not going to come out of there like, who's Angelina Jolie's dad?
Oh,
God dang it. The car that George...
Midnight Cowboy.
Yeah. The car in Seinfeld that George thought he bought, it was his. Anyway.
John Voight,
jeez. So it won't be like that in Anaconda where he pops out and winks at you?
Yeah.
What a great moment that was. That was the greatest moment in film history, by the way. Anyway, this guy made a custom-built snake-proof suit. He says he has tested it, and he's going to test it live on Discovery Channel's Eaten Alive show. Now, you say it's already happened, so that's good.
That's what I thought I saw in the article, but...
It'll air December 7th, so we got a ways to wait. It's already...
Yeah, so many people are already very upset about this because it's like, so how's the guy getting back out? They're not going to let him pass all the way through.
No.
And so now you've got all the animal activists going, so you're just going to kill this thing to get the guy back out.
I'll bet what happens, well, or what happened, because I think we would have heard otherwise by now. The snake will reject it if it thinks it can't digest it. I've seen this.
Is that what happens with your boa?
Yeah, my ball python will.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Will hack up that frozen mouse if it doesn't think it,
really?
Something's wrong. Yeah, if it thinks it's like coming in sideways, the tail's tangled up or something strange. They have ways, man. They're not gonna just, well, I'll just go ahead and die and by eating this. They'll hork it up. So my guess is, this is my guess, and we'll have to wait and see, but that thing will get, I don't know how far, maybe halfway down. Halfway. This is a big snake, so who knows, but it'll get halfway through there and then go, nope, and then he'll just regurgitate it and the dude will flop out.
Is an anaconda a constrictor? Is it part of that family?
I think so. I think so, that's how they kill stuff.
This guy's suit's going to have to stand up to a lot of pressure because... it's going to try to crush him before he eats it.
Well, the natural instinct of these things, including even the pythons and my ball python himself, Norman, the way they do it is even if you give them dead bait, like non-fighting back, you know, have to hunt it bait, their first thing is to strike it and hold it in their mouth. Even if they don't have teeth, they have little hooks in there.
Mm-hmm.
Hold it in their mouth and then wrap their body around it real hard and then squeeze it until the instinct says this thing has stopped breathing and died.
This is what happened to that guy. Remember that guy that invented like the bear suit and he was going to go wander out in the woods and let a bear attack him.
Grizzly Man documentary.
Grizzly Man.
I think it was called Grizzly Man.
I know he built a suit that was like some kind of wire cage suit.
Yeah. And he tried to live with the bears and learn
maybe,
how they
maybe thinking of two different guys.
We might be. I mean, the guy I'm thinking of thought he was like one with the bears and he got eaten on camera.
Ended up getting killed.
Yeah, that was
bad.
But
the guy with the suit, I think the same thing was they tested it and tested it and it's like, there's no way this suit's going to stand up to a bear. So hopefully they did the same thing with the anaconda guy.
Well, the only way to test it is get in there, right?
I guess.
No. I hope it's got like, here's how I picture it. It's probably like cocoonish. So I'm guessing he's going to be strapped kind of in it, and it's going to cover all of him, maybe even his face. I don't know. I mean, we have no idea.
Yeah, look at the on the video. I think it's the second video on the website.
Mm.
There is a shot of him wearing this thing, standing right next to the snake.
Look at the size of that damn snake.
It's like
dude.
At 43 seconds in, 42 seconds in.
Is this the lowest, closest to the bottom video? Is this the one?
Yeah.
All right, let's play a little bit. Just a clip.
We're heading into a unique ecosystem that no one's ever explored before.
Yeah, the guts of a snake. That's a unique ecosystem.
I don't really know what lays between here and the floating forest, but for the next few days, it's going to be a challenge.
Okay, difficult
journey. This is not a shell. It's used very often.
Gotcha!
Skipping ahead. Oh, that's a big snake.
We're going to get in the inside of a snake.
Okay, here's a white. It's a white suit. He's got some breathing apparatus. He looks like, you know what he looks like?
He looks like the guy from Bio. Bioshock.
Yes, or better yet, the blue is making me think of Sub-Zero from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. As peeling as possible, so the snake says, well, he looks like a fighting ninja.
Oh, they've got him tethered.
Yeah, so that's why I say they can like yank him out if they need to. If it works that way. I don't know.
I hate to say this. I usually avoid this kind of stuff, but I kind of want to see that happen. There's a part of me that
wants to be that guy.
I want to be that guy. I want to be that dude.
I'm sure it's going to have huge ratings.
Probably, right? Probably some of the best discoveries ever had.
Maybe.
He's the true survivor man now. Anyway, we'll find out more as it comes up. Also in the news, man finds corpse in a Florida house he bought at an auction.
What did you think was going to happen?
Oh, no. Well, it is a Florida house, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the writing was on the wall. A Southwest Florida man found a body inside a foreclosed house he purchased at an auction, the News Press of Fort Myers reports. Cape Coral resident William Wilson, great name, bought the light pink house for $96,000. Ugh, light pink. What are you doing? When he went to evaluate this purchase on Wednesday, he found a corpse on the master bedroom floor. They went in there and are doing an investigation. Neighbors told the newspaper two sisters had lived in the home and no one had seen them for a while. Wilson was the most recent piece of mail. Something, what? Oh, anyway. Well, the most recent piece of mail was unpaid property taxes and went back 3 years. Probably, and the house was a mess inside. Probably died some time ago. Who knows how? But
I just, you know. I'm curious. I've been to foreclosed home auctions before.
Sure, me too.
I've seen foreclosed auction houses before. You at least get to walk through it,
yeah,
and see some of the stuff, or at least somebody has to go through at some point.
Yeah, because they're bank owned.
Make sure that the house is not going to be condemned when you sell it.
Yeah, my understanding.
How do you miss a body?
Yeah, my understanding. I could ask my. I have a realtor buddy who would know this, but I would think the way it works is if the bank owns it, because that's who you're getting the auction from. Usually, the bank foreclosed. Now you're auctioning from the bank. The bank is going to want to know what the hell's in there.
Right. They need to know what its worth is, unless they're.
I thought they had people that went out and cleaned out that stuff, but I don't know. What do I know? It's Florida, dude.
It's like didn't you just read a story a couple of weeks ago about these people that bought a house and they went in the back bedroom and the wasps had turned into the sofa or something?
Oh, right.
Made that giant nest.
Yeah, like the whole, what was that? It still haunts me, though, the whole idea of it. I know that. Well, anyway, the bottom line is freaking don't do that. Don't buy
homes from Florida
that are light pink at the very least. Yeah,
no, it is Cape Coral.
Is it? All right.
Maybe one of the homeowner association things.
Yeah,
paint it pink.
Pink? What the hell, dude? I mean, I know. Well, whatever. In Miami, maybe. Maybe you get away with it in Miami. I don't know about that other place. Anyway, hey, look at this. We got a sponsor today. Harry's. Yay. Harry's is awesome. We love these guys. This whole episode is brought to you by them. They're fixing a problem most of us have. That's paying too much for overpriced razors. I mean, let's admit, shaving with a dull blade is not fun.
No.
Sometimes we draw blood, cut ourselves like idiots, put a little, you know, freaking toilet paper on our face. There's nothing cool about that.
No.
Razors are expensive. They run like $4 a blade. For a guy who shaves every day, I mean, he's going to spend way, way too much money every month on like Gillette Fusions or whatever other fancy, you know, brand he's buying to have to refill those blades. Then he's got to go to the store. He's got to ask the dude to get it out of the glass counter thing because they're, I don't know why they're locked away, but they are. Probably because they're worth so much freaking money.
Yeah.
It sucks. So don't do that anymore. We got a company here that's going to fix all that for you. That's Harry's. Harry's gives high quality razors at about half the price of those big brand names. A reminder, if you haven't heard, this month is Movember.
Yep.
There are a bunch of guys not shaving this month in support of research on men's major health issues. Harry's wants to make a donation to the Movember Fund to show their support. So whether you're growing your beard or want an amazing shave, Harry's is a company you can feel good about, even during a month where people are shaving less, which in theory means less people shaving with Harry's products. They're still willing to say, no, this is an important issue, and we're getting behind it, which is awesome. So here's our offer. I want you to go to harrys.com and get $5 off your first purchase with a coupon code that is MorningStream, all one word, MorningStream, and support Movember. That's $5 off your first purchase only when you go to harrys.com. That's harrys.com and enter the coupon code MorningStream at checkout. We love these guys, and we thank them for their support. Time for Celebrity Poop.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
All right, we got something special I'm going to read here from somebody who sent this in to sponsor this segment. He says, Roy is a friend of my son's. Roy is a loving 9-year-old boy. Since six years old, Roy has suffered from intractable epilepsy. Intractable epilepsy is a seizure disorder in which a patient's seizures fail to come under control with treatment. On a good day, Roy will experience 2 to 5 seizures. And as a personal note, having my daughter, who's now not having these, but when she was 13, she had them all the time. We were real freaked out. Turns out it was a temporary condition. I can tell you it is one of the most horrifying parental experiences you can have. And if you're having 2 to 5 a day and they are uncontrollable and not treatment is not working, my heart is out to this kid. On a bad day, he will suffer 20 to 30 per day. Doctors hope that surgery will improve his quality of life. Roy has had electrodes planted in his brain to locate the focal point of his seizures. And on Tuesday, November 11th, doctors will remove these electrodes and the focal point. They'll remove part of his brain, basically, is what the surgery will do. There's been a website created to help with the financial burden on the family. Please go to tinyurl.com/fundroysbattle. That's tinyurl.com/fundroysbattle to help. If everyone listening to TMS just gave $1, they'd come up with over $100 to help the family. Ha ha. There's a lot more people than that. In fact, if everybody on listens to TMS did $1, you'd save this family an enormous burden. Any donation, of course, would be welcome. Again, that's tinyurl.com/fundroysbattle. Go help those guys out today.
Yeah.
Man. Ugh. As a parent, well, you know how this feels. This kind of stuff just tears you up, man. Can't even deal with it. Jerry Seinfeld. You're familiar with his work? You know Jerry?
I don't think I know this guy.
Who's Jerry Seinfeld? I can't do the voice with this cracked up thing. Jerry Seinfeld thinks he has autism. But he hasn't had a diagnosis. He said this. He says, I think on a very drawn out scale, I think I'm on the spectrum, he says. Basic social engagement is really struggling, or I have a real struggle with it. I'm very literal, and when people talk to me and they use their expressions, sometimes I don't know what they're saying, but I don't see it as dysfunctional. I think it's just an alternate mindset. It's entirely possible. And yeah, there are a lot of really creative, funny people who maybe have insight to parts of humor we don't, or observational humor, which he is the king of.
Right.
Because maybe, just maybe, he's on a scale. But at some point, here's my problem with it, and it's fine he can say that or whatever. I don't have a problem with Jerry, but at some point, aren't we all on the scale?
I was going to say, if you stretch that spectrum out far enough,
yeah,
everybody's there.
Yeah, like you got a quirky friend, I'll bet he's on the autism scale. Well, what does that even mean? I mean, like, where does it end and start?
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like they need to... At least he has an excuse
for not going out and hanging out in crowds.
Right.
Basically, he's saying, I don't like hanging out with people. Yeah. And I don't take innuendo lightly.
No, exactly. Well, and who does? Yes. That's Jerry for you, and good for him. AC/DC drummer Phil Rudd, no relation to Paul Rudd, the actor. He is charged with attempting to procure murder.
Crazy.
This is the insanest story. And it's sad because lately there have been a lot of bad AC/DC stories. You got the...
Yeah.
What's his name's brother? I always forget his name. Not Angus Young, but the other one. The other Young. Guitarist or bassist? I forget. Anyway, I think bassist. He is being diagnosed with advanced Alzheimer's or dementia and is not performing anymore and is actually in an assisted living facility now, which is just, just was touring last year. So,
yeah.
It's just crazy.
Yeah.
And now this, AC/DC drummer Phil Rudd has been charged in New Zealand with attempting to procure murder, threatening to kill, and possession of drugs. 60-year-old was subject of a raid in the North Island of on Thursday morning and appeared in a Tauranga District Court. Tauranga. I hope I said that right. He said nothing during his brief court appearance and wore no shoes. Why is that important?
I think they took away his shoelaces.
I
don't know.
Maybe it could be. That is the thing they do, right?
Yeah.
It has to be slip-ons or no sale. He did not apply to suppress his name and was bailed until the 27th of November. He's been charged with attempting to procure murder, which sounds like a thing we don't say here. We would say, what would we say? We would say attempted, what's the phrase for an attempt to
hiring procure? Hiring a hitman?
Yeah, that, I guess, is how we'd say it.
Yeah.
That seems more normal to me, but whatever.
There was a guy here that I don't understand this, because here's this guy.
Yeah.
Top of his game.
Sure. No.
Everything all his life.
Legendary, man.
And
legendary.
Now he wants to go kill somebody. There was a guy here that built a lot of the buildings and real estate and big to do, very rich, wealthy guy.
Yeah.
And did the same thing. Tried to have his partner, I think, rubbed out. And got caught. And it's just like, why would you do this?
I have a theory about this.
Okay.
I think that you get to a place in your life, professionally or otherwise, where you feel like you have got a lot of power and nobody can tell you no. Mm. And your moral compass just gets skewed. And so when something's going wrong or there's a problem in your life or you need to eliminate somebody from it, You and I might just say, dude, I don't want to talk to you anymore. Don't call me or whatever. That might be our answer. But in that upper echelon of supposed assumed power due to money or success or whatever, I think they feel a little more untouchable and maybe feel like they could get away with something like this. They've got the money to hire the best possible hitman who will keep it all quiet. It's got to be that.
Well, there's an update to this story.
All right. What's the update?
Authorities made an embarrassing about-face yesterday when prosecutors dropped a murder-for-hire charge against AC/DC drummer Phil Rudd, saying that there was not enough evidence to proceed.
Oh, no.
So they don't have enough. But he also, but he does face the drug charges.
He had meth.
He did have methamphetamines and marijuana.
Yeah, meth and pot. So, well, that's interesting. A real twist. Well,
I think you're right, though, that people think that they're untouchable.
Yeah. Well, he got a new album coming out, so
free publicity.
They got to hurry up. Still the bad boys of heavy metal and rock. All right, I have saved a couple of things for now because normally you'd do a segment about these two things, but I think instead we'll talk about, you know, here's what we'll do. We'll talk about one now and the other one after the song. How about Big Hero 6? You went and saw it.
Oh, my God, Scott. Listeners, you need to go and see Big Hero 6. If you don't know what this is, this is Disney Animation. This is not Pixar.
Yeah.
This is Disney Animation Studios taking a Marvel idea of Big Hero 6 and slapping their Disney spin on it and in creating an incredible superhero movie that I think you're going to love.
Can't wait. We're going to see movie, it this Scott. Week.
Now, this has nothing to do with the comic book character. So if you go in expecting to see Silver Samurai and all these guys, you're not going to see them.
Yeah.
So it's kind of in name only. They do give credit to Men of Action for creating Big Hero 6 and all of that stuff.
Mm.
But from there, it is total standalone Disney story, original story, that borrows all the tropes from every superhero thing that you want to see.
Because it's an origin story, right? That's all.
It's an origin story. It's got the death of somebody that creates the need to be the hero. It's got a villain that I think maybe you'll figure out who it is pretty quick.
Yeah.
It's got a team. It's got corruption. It's got greed. And then it's got lots of comedy and lots of tears in this movie. By far, Baymax steals this movie as the big lumbering heart of gold robot.
The trailers make it seem like this that maybe his name is Big Hero 6 and he is the whole sole point of the entire movie. Is that the case?
No.
It's not.
No. His name is Baymax in the movie.
Hmm.
And the deal is Hero is a very smart kid, graduated high school at 13. His brother, who I'm forgetting off the top of my name, talks him into coming down and visiting his college.
Yeah.
And seeing what kind of really cool things that they're doing in nerd school. And his brother is instantly like, oh, a hero instantly wants to go to this school, gets accepted in. The night that he gets accepted in, his brother dies in a tragic fire. And so this movie is all about coping and loss and trying to do the right thing while still remembering the loved one that's died.
Yeah.
And it's really, really good.
Well, I'm in. I can't wait.
The animation is... Holy crap, Scott. They built Tokyo. I forget how.
Right. The combo. Yeah.
But the way they did it is everything is in exact detail. So you could go into any part of this city in the 3D application and you would be in that city ready to do it. And then you can zoom out and see the entire city. And they've done a great job. There's a great video that Tested did where they interviewed one of the heads of the technology of this. And just the amount of technology, the amount of animation that went into this, the crowd simulations is fantastic.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. This movie needs a sequel.
Yeah.
Needs a sequel today. And Disney needs to come out and say, we're making Big Hero 6 squared or whatever that they're doing.
Yeah.
Problem is, and I see this a lot with Pixar and Disney, is they like to do one thing and then put in all their new technology and their new advancements and then go on to something else.
Yeah.
The exception would be, of course, Toy Story, which now we're getting four movies over the course of, what has it been, 30 years?
Yeah. Well,
four movies over the course of 25 years.
25 years, yeah. We'll see. 95? Yeah. Oh, weird.
Yeah. They did announce that fourth movie.
That's crazy. You just blew. Oh, my gosh. It's been that long.
Yeah. 95, isn't it? 95? Something like that.
Wow.
So 25 years.
Okay.
Four movies.
All right.
But we've never seen, we do know that they're working on an Incredibles 2, but that's taken forever.
Yeah.
But Big Hero 6 is one of those franchises that, yes, it does fall into comic book tropiness, but it is so great as far as the characters that are involved.
Yeah.
The animation is fantastic. They could crank one of these out. Mason, when we were coming home from this as a family, and all four of us went for the first time. Well, I should say first time that all of us sat through the entire movie. But we all came out saying, we want to see another one of these.
Well, Ibbot saw it yesterday. Mm-hmm. He'll have plenty to say, I'm sure.
There is a, I will say, there is a Stanley cameo.
Always.
And there is an in-credit scene that you do want to stick around for.
Oh, yeah. I heard, like, a little stinger thing.
I'm giving this a big thumbs up. This is definitely, now if you were to ask me what my favorite Marvel movies are, this one is my number two.
Wow. Yeah. Number right behind what? What's your number
one? Iron Man. The first Iron Man.
First Iron Man, still number one for you.
Yep.
I think for me it goes, and I haven't seen this yet, so I can't count this one, but I think right now it goes Winter Soldier, pretty much tied with Avengers, then Iron Man 2008, and then the rest I forget. I forget where the rest are, but they're in there.
Big Hero 6 did make $56 million this weekend.
Yeah, it did really well.
Christopher Nolan's Interstellar.
Only by $6 million, so it's kind of almost a tie, yeah.
Yep. My concern is that maybe parents didn't want to go out this weekend because they were waiting for reviews. That happens a lot. That happened with the Lego movie.
Yeah.
And that they're going to want to go out next weekend. But pretty much two-thirds of the United States is going to be in a deep freeze come next weekend.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's going to hurt box office movie-going
experience. It's going to be snowing here even. I'm going to see it. I'm dying to. We're going to try to see it during the week this week and Interstellar. I want to see both. They're currently at 91%. Big Hero 6, 91% in the box office. Real hard to beat that. And 73 for Interstellar, which is still great. Oddly enough, you go down to number five or four on the box office list. Ouija still kind of holding the Halloween spot there. Whopping 8%. Good job, guys, on Rotten Tomatoes. Nice, nice work. All right, we'll talk about Star Wars after this break.
Okay.
We're going to do music in a sec. When we come back, we'll do all of that. Before that, though, tweakedaudio.com sponsoring today's show. Five styles, seven colors, designed to sound great with music and talk. All engineered for noise reduction and durability. If you're looking for something with compatibility with whatever new fancy phone you just bought, well, good. They've got you covered. I want you to go check out Tweaked Audio, get your lifetime warranty, and your discount of 33% off by using the code STREAM at checkout. That's at tweakedaudio.com and the code STREAM. All right. Now, normally Brian has like a request. I have access to none of that. Neither does Steven, funny enough. So I just brought a song I wanted to hear. And there's just jack crap you can do about it. I'm a big fan of the Best of Booty mashups that happen every year. It's this website. You can Google it. It's just called Best of Booty. And since 2009, I want to say, is the earliest I have, and then they do it every year. They take all the big popular songs of the year. Sometimes not, though. Sometimes it's stuff from forever ago. But they basically take the best mashups of that year, and then they put them out. We played them on the show before. It's usually when Brian's gone that I do this. I have particular fondness for the one I'm going to play now, which I think is just a ridiculous mashup, and it works so well. It's kind of shocking. And that is a mashup for, the song's called The Single Ladies of Mayberry.
Okay.
It is a mashup of The Andy Griffith Show and Beyonce's All the Single Ladies. Now, before you turn off your freaking device and say, what the hell, Scott, you're ruining the show, I think you might like this, everybody. So sit tight. Give it a listen. We'll be back in a minute to talk about the big Star Wars news of the week. We'll have Veronica on to talk video games, your emails, and more. All that in just a few minutes. Stick with us.
Need no permission. Did I mention? Don't pay him any attention. Cause you had your turn, and now you're gonna learn what it really feels like to miss me. Cause if you like it, then you should've put a ring on it.
Every time folks eat Super Fruity Bonkers fruit candy, it makes a big hit. Know why Bonkers is so super fruity? It's got a chewy fruity outside with an extra fruity inside. Makes me want to eat it up.
Bonkers bonks you out.
Thumb candy!
You metal-munching moron!
This is the Morning Stream. It puts the lotion in the basket.
And we're back, everybody. I cannot kill this voice problem. It's just going to take time.
Yeah, you strain your vocal cords.
Yeah, maybe a little chamomile tea. Or,
Say Andy, Andy.
Andy. Aunt B. Anyway, welcome back, and thanks everybody for coming on back. And that song's fun. Come on, man. You got to admit, it's fun. It's good times. There's nothing wrong with it. Quit being such a bunch of babies out there. let's dive right into this Star Wars news real quick here with Steven.
So here was the cool thing last week. Yeah. I think it was on Thursday when you guys were all shipping out, doing all your thing, going to BlizzCon.
Yeah.
Disney and Star Wars basically posted a little thing on Twitter that says, hey, we've wrapped shooting. Today's the last day of shooting on Star Wars. And they posted a little image. And when you looked at the image, it revealed the title of the movie, Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens.
Okay, I'm going to tell my joke one more time.
Okay.
They're also, they as a side note, they announced Secretariat 7, The Horse Awakens. Oh, zing. Anyway, so this Force Awakens deal, a lot of people, I mean, Twitter exploded with like consternation that this was a terrible name. Hello, every title of Star Wars ever. They're all dumb, dude. Every one of those names are dumb.
Even The Empire Strikes Back?
Yes. It's a great movie because even we associate it with it because it was so good. But at the time, we didn't know any better, partly because we were kids. But if you look at it, if Twitter existed in 1981 and somebody came out and announced the title for Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back...
Oh, yeah, they would have made all sorts of baseball jokes.
It's dumb.
The Empire strikes out. The Empire can't see what it's doing.
Yeah, exactly.
And umpire made a really bad call.
The way I look at it, too, is even the word, I said this on Current Geek, and if you guys listen to Current Geek, then you'll hear this again, but the word Star Wars is dumb. Or the words. It's just dumb. It's always been dumb. It's just that you can do a dumb name, and then if you make something super cool with the name, then you don't think of it as dumb anymore. Then it settles in. Like, I no longer think of the term Phantom Menace as a problem as a title.
Mm-hmm.
I think of the Phantom Menace being a crappy movie. But when the Phantom Menace name was announced, that was dumb. Attack of the Clones, also dumb. Revenge of the Sith. I mean, but they're all in keeping with the naming convention that Star Wars has always enjoyed slash been cursed with.
Yeah, from the 30s and 40s serials is where they came up with these. When George Lucas was a young kid, he used to go and see the Saturday morning matinee, and you'd get that little cliffhanger adventure at the very beginning, and they always had crazy names in them.
Yeah.
And that's why when he was doing Star Wars, he wanted to pay homage to that. And that's why we have these titles in the Star Wars universe.
Honestly, people just aren't used to saying it yet. That's all. They'll get used to it.
I think some people are excited about it. I saw a lot of people who are very excited about it. I saw a lot of penis jokes made mention. Mm-hmm. But the question is, what has been going on with the Force? Why is it suddenly awakening now after 30 years of the last thing?
Yeah.
I don't know. Part of that answer may be in the fact that if you remember when Mark Hamill was going around early on, he was wearing this big scraggly beard and everything and looked kind of crazy. And it may have to do with something with his Force powers, maybe a little bit crazier than anybody thought.
Well, I mean, that's the theory floating around. We talked about it again on Current Geek, but the whole idea that Luke is the most powerful Jedi in the universe and is now hiding away because he's gotten to a point where he can't control this anymore. He's kind of gone, you know, it's starting to go berserk, and it's possible that tracking him down, both Sith and Jedi, trying to find him and harness that power for one side or the other is a big part of the storyline. I could totally see that.
Mm-hmm.
Like Hermit Mark Hamill fits my
reality, totally.
You know? So,
but I also think that, well, I don't know. The problem is, ever since we are introduced to the Jedi in Episode 4, they've always been portrayed, or we always think of them as this hermit class that wears these robes out in the desert.
Yeah.
And then we try to make every Jedi all wear robes, make every Jedi try to be a loner, make every Jedi do this thing.
Yeah.
And so I think we've kind of gotten away from, why was Obi-Wan there? Why was he wearing the clothing that he was wearing? Why does he act in these hermit ways? It's very, I guess, caught in a loop or caught in a trap in that way.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm
excited.
I'm beyond excited. And the name means nothing until you see the movie. And then when you see the movie, you're like, oh yeah. I mean, even the sequels that people don't like, unless they were kids then and they all still like it. Which I think is interesting, by the way. Those kids are growing up. Like if you were 10 in 1999, you are 20.
Yeah.
The freaking
young Zach. He loves The Phantom Menace.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that really like it.
Whenever it came out, he was right in there with it.
We need to learn to accept this fact, folks, that there were adults who thought Star Wars was a little silly when we were kids.
Oh, yeah.
So,
remember the first episode of that 70s show?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't want to go to this thing. Then he saw it and was like, whoa.
I think there's some truth to that. So, whatever. I want it. I'm excited about it. The name doesn't matter to me as much as anything else. And I think it, again, is consistent with the way Star Wars movies get named. So relax. Calm down. Take a nice sip of, I don't know.
Chamomile tea.
Yeah, or freaking Hilton sink urine. And relax. Okay. I think it is time.
I've got one more thing real quick.
Oh, go ahead, yeah.
If you're a fan of Big Bang Theory and you're a fan of Lego, Lego unveiled two new sets for their Lego Ideas last week, and it looks like you're going to get a Big Bang Theory Lego set coming out next year.
Ooh, hubba hubba.
Yeah, there you go.
That seems all right.
Yep.
Well, we knew that was coming, though, right? I mean,
and not really. It was up Lego Ideas. Users contribute, and then if it gets past 10,000 votes, then Lego considers it. And there's a whole bunch of them. There's a Bruce Wayne Manor. There's an X Mansion that's currently up that they're considering. A bunch of Doctor Who stuff. It has to get past that 10,000, and once it does, Lego looks at it, considers it, works with the creator because the creator gets some money out of the deal, and then they can go into production of it. So
that sounds great.
This is a good step, and we should hopefully see that set, I'm thinking, in late 2015.
All right. Awesome. Well, see, it's like major spoilers the whole day. I like this. Woo-hoo. I like this a lot. All right. I think it's time for us to get V on here. We're going to talk a little bit more about Overwatch and what it means for the gaming industry with V. She hasn't been here in a couple of weeks. She's been so busy. Her life has been
busy. I saw some of her behind the scenes pictures that she was taking at her job she was doing.
Yeah, I mean, she's what can be said for the busiest, hardest working person on the internet, as far as I'm concerned. Let's play a little theme here. We got a little theme. Here you go. Veronica Belmont. Oh, why is that playing again? Oh, stop. There we go. Hey, what's going on? How are you?
Good. How are you? Good morning.
Oh, I'm fantastic. We missed you at BlizzCon, though. It wasn't the same without you.
Oh, the photos looked so amazing. I was so jealous. I loved really that 360 camera that I saw. Oh, that looked very epic.
That was their thing. I felt like, anyway, that was like their replacement for that weird thing we did in 2011 where they had us reenact the voices of all those characters and then match up the video and give it to us on USB sticks. I don't know if you
remember that. Super fun, though.
That was fun. I agree. But this seemed like this year's like version of that. And everybody could get in there and do kind of a Matrix moment. It was a little low rent in terms of how many cameras there were, but it made me want to build my own set like that. Because all you had to do was just hold a pose, and then like 12 cameras took a shot of you, and then they just animated the cameras, and it became the greatest time of your life.
I really enjoyed Patrick Beja just being on his phone while everyone is doing their epic like battle poses. I'm like, that's perfect.
He's such a perfect dork. It was really fun seeing him this weekend too, and having him join the instance full time is a huge deal for us, and we're excited about that. And this was probably the best BlizzCon ever. The announcements are crazy, but today with you, I think we zero in on kind of what it means for Blizzard to make a shooter in a world where Blizzard's known for, like, I mean, I made the comment there that they're kind of the three-quarter view company, and that everything's always sort of been top down. It's all RTSs and action RPGs, mm-hmm. and then with WoW, it's a little third person, you know, MMO, and they kind of own that space, but it's all kind of been this kind of game company that now suddenly feels like has a whole different kind of game to make, if you know.
Well,
what I
mean. It makes you feel like they can really do anything. I think a lot of people kind of pigeonhole Blizzard, as you said, and now we have a game like Overwatch, and it's blowing that whole idea up. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing a lot of comparisons to Team Fortress. Obviously, I think mm-hmm. that's kind of the first thing that popped into most gamers' minds. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it looks a lot different. And from what I've heard about the gameplay, it's very different as well. Did you get some hands-on time?
I did. So I played for about, I don't know, 20 minutes or something, twice, two different sessions. And I went in, well, it's easy, especially when you see that engineer class guy building his turret and stuff. There's like very reminiscent moments of Team Fortress.
Torbjorn. How do you say his name?
Torbjorn. Yeah, some like guy from Scandinavia or something. And it's cool because all of these characters are kind of unique to different areas in the world. They all have very different accents. You know, Reinhardt's this big German paladin looking guy who does nothing but melee. Freaking the girl, I forgot her name already, the one everyone loves, Tracer's like very cockney sort of British West End kind of accent. She's mm-hmm. awesome. And it's kind of this very really interesting representation of the world coming together to create these heroes, and the story behind that, it's all neat and everything. But in terms of the actual gameplay, I got in there thinking, okay, well, this stylized look and the way this works is going to feel very Team Fortress, and it immediately does not feel like that game to me. And I played a lot of TF2, so I enjoyed TF2, but I got in here and it feels like something, honestly, kind of fresh and I've never quite played before. It's obviously a shooter. It's very twitchy, and you know, you're relying a lot on, you know, movement and stuff in the game, but the game's very vertical. There's a lot of traversal stuff. Guys can climb walls.
Oh, that's interesting you say that, because a couple of the reviews I read said the game lacked verticality.
Oh, I would disagree. Yeah.
Especially when they were using, who has the grapple gun? Is that Widowmaker?
That's Widowmaker, or, mm-hmm. yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's her.
So they were saying that they were using the grappling gun and that it felt like there weren't a ton of options for them in terms of vertical space.
Well, in her case, I would agree that she's got, I mean, it's kind of a straight shot up to stuff you can see, but you're still, I mean, she can leap from, you know, one floor to the next very quickly. There are other classes that sort of can fly there. Mm-hmm. This character I played a lot, and I always forget his name, so I call him Ronan, but that's not right.
Hanzo,
that's it. Yeah. Somebody told me he was Italian. Somebody told me he was Japanese.
No, he's Japanese.
I don't know what to believe anymore.
Hanzo would be
because
the giveaway.
Because then I went and played it again, and I heard his voice, and then I was unsure. He sounded a little Italian to me, so I don't know.
I do love. I think they did a great job with the racial diversity in the game,
very
and also mm-hmm. you know, having appropriate armor for the characters. It seems like some of the comments I've seen have been really positive from grown-ups with kids being like, I feel okay with my kids, like, you know, looking up to these characters and wanting to cosplay as them.
Absolutely. That's the thing.
So I think that's really great. Yeah. I think that's fantastic.
I do. And the one thing I came away with too was this sense of not just diversity, because their diversity, you're absolutely right. The diversity is there not only in like gender roles or the kinds of things they do, but the world being represented by all these different nations and accents, that feels very diverse. Also, some of the characters are just freaking weird robots that have decided to become like this one Zen robot. I forgot his name too, but he basically kind of Tai Chi's his way. Yeah, that guy's amazing.
but he feels like a robot that thinks he's a person. I don't know, it's hard to explain. But the diversity of character types, just literally the kind of, there's no like, oh, those two are basically the same guy, or that lady and that guy, they do the sort of the same thing, but they're just different looks for a variety. Everyone truly feels like totally different, totally handcrafted, nothing like each other. That to me is a huge part of this, as well as the cooldown system. I think that's really genius the way that works with the different abilities. Very easy to pick up. Again, hard to master, kind of Blizzard's trademark.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you feel like there, I was actually going to jump into that, like easy to, what is it, easy to play, difficult to master, kind of mindset that Blizzard has. Do you feel like people jumping into a shooter for the first time? I mean, maybe there's a lot of Blizzard fans that have never really played a first-person shooter all that much.
Well, that
I mean, I'm sure that's got to be a segment of their gamer population. So yeah. For those people, do you feel like they'll have an easy time getting into this, or do you feel like it's going to be something that takes a little while?
Well, that was my impression from the reaction on. So the reaction on Twitter right after the announcement was a lot of people saying, and they were asking me directly, "Do you think this? Does this game?" They were like, "Does this game have like quests and like, you know, do you level up?" Like they wanted all the questions that are normally associated with Blizzard games. And the answer, at least at this stage, because they're not showing a ton about anything single player related or anything like that. Who knows? But right now, no, it's looking like very much straight up action. This is to fulfill their want to make an FPS that is competitive and team based and all those sort of things. I think, like their other games, they're going to be people that are WoW heads and that's all they want to do. And Diablo is going to come along and they're like, it's not really for me. Or StarCraft's going to come along and blow people away and that's all they're going to want to do. And they're like, I could care less about playing World of Warcraft or Heroes of the Storm or whatever other thing like that there is. There's going to be some of that, you know, where WoW players are like, that was pretty neat, but man, that's sure not for me because I just want to sit and play WoW. I think that what they're really doing here, they're always going to have crossover. Like me, I'm going to play every damn thing they make. And there's a lot of us like that, right?
Right.
But I think what they are really hoping is that there is a segment of the gaming world who are already enamored with shooters who are now going to include Blizzard among the ranks of great shooter makers. So yeah. I think that's what this is a desire to not only please a bunch of the fan base, but to pull in a bunch of new fans.
Yeah, diversify a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah, get some different kinds of games under their
in
their wheelhouse. I think I'm excited about this one.
I think you're gonna love it.
As I saw the trailer, I was pretty stoked.
I can hear you screaming now. Seriously, getting mad and competitive, like for real. It's super competitive.
Who do you think is gonna be my favorite character? Who do you think I'm gonna excel?
That's a really great question. If I was to guess your style. Oh, man.
You don't play first-person shooters with me. You don't even know.
No, I don't. That's what's funny. So it's hard. So this is a complete guess. But if I had to guess, I'll bet you really like Tracer a lot. And not just because she's a girl.
Easy answer.
I know it's
like
easy
that's
answer.
An easy answer.
But there's a reason she's up front and center. I think they made... she is probably the one that they wanted to make showcase the most. Not just for the opening movie or any of that stuff. But her gameplay is really fun, like just kind of over the top fun. And I only got a chance to play her, Reaper, the Bjorn Torn guy, and one other, and Reinhardt, which that's the other thing I wanted to say. The game almost goes MOBA a little bit because there's so many melee characters in it that don't shoot a thing. They're not these guys aren't shooters at all. They are swinging giant axes or they're, you know,
like Winston. Too,
yeah, like
right?
Winston. He's got like electro melee weapon thing and his special is like exploding out of that and just pounding you into the ground, and it's very different. Like that's what I'm so excited about, is the diversity on display here means that all of us are going to find something unique to us that we want to play, and not just, well, I sort of like the heavy, but I wish he was faster or whatever.
And you can switch classes mid-match at the respawn point, right?
That so is correct.
Like,
yeah.
If you're cool. Playing something you don't like, you can just jump into the next character.
Yeah. That's a real beauty, because if your team's sucking it and you're like, what we really need, guys, is Reinhardt, because we need his shield, because we really got to hold that choke point. One of us can just pop into Reinhardt and we're there.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff in the game. Also, they're like, even just reloading. I think we talked about this on the instance, but reloading is less of a thing you have to manage. You're still reloading for a lot of the gun types, but it happens kind of automatically without you having to do much.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, with Reaper, who I really liked playing, he's the kind of death dude and he's in the intro movie. He's got these close range shotguns in both hands. And when he's done, he literally throws them to the side, reaches down and pulls out two fresh new guns and keeps going. It's just cool. It's just badass. It's just so, so cool. So, I would compare this more favorably to the excitement of the Unreal Tournament days, and then matching that up with kind of a more MOBA-centric, almost manga attitude of today. And I think that's kind of what this thing is. It's super exciting. We're going to play like hell.
On a side note, I realize, thanks to Nicole on Twitter, that it was actually Wood Whisperer. It was Mark, not Patrick on his cell phone doing the 360 shot.
That is hilarious because all weekend everybody was confusing those two as usual. So
they do. They look very much alike sometimes.
It's so weird.
They do.
I agree.
So
completely.
I apologize to both Patrick and to Mark for the confusion again.
That's
publicly.
Hilarious. One other thing I wanted to mention real quick, and that was so Mike Morheim got up. And on this show and other shows, I've tried not to feed any of the stupid trolls that, for groups and names I don't want to mention here. But he got up and said something that looked like he really meant and was very difficult and well thought out and stuff. I feel like that's a really important thing that happened. And I wish we'd see, or I hope we see, more, you know, people in authority, founders of big video game companies, be that concerned about what's going on and make statements like that in ways that are daring. They're a little bit, you know, kind of putting himself out there. I was really impressed with that. How did that land on you?
I was also really happy that that happened, though I don't think it's going to really change the opinion of the people who are dead set in their mindset about this whole thing.
Sure.
It always just adds fuel to the fire of that, you know, we don't understand the conversation, you know, game companies don't get it. It's all a big cabal. It's all like everyone's working in conjunction against them.
Mm-hmm.
So I am happy to see the support. I just don't know if it'll change anything.
It's a really good point. And I don't know how else it's handled. I mean, if they're going to, if people don't, I don't know. I feel like at the very least, it establishes this cultural point of saying, this is where Blizzard's at. You should at least know that.
Yeah,
and we stand with those who feel in a similar way and leave it at that. I think that, I mean, in the end, that seems like that's a good thing to do because at the very least, you're planting a flag and saying, well, no, you should know how we feel. And then what else?
Like how we can't even say the word. It's like they're listening.
It's like Voldemort, dude.
We can't say it. It is totally Voldemort.
I don't want to get a bunch of crappy emails. And people know where we stand. I've said many times, but knowing the kind of guy Morheim is and knowing that this must have been a very torturous
thing for him
to want to do and get up and do at his big event where it's such a big positive vibe, I was impressed that he was willing to do that.
Well, it sounded from the video that there were people very happy. You know, I heard a lot of cheers in the audience. Did you feel like that was the prevailing mood
by far,
that announcement?
By far, yeah. I think that's the whole point of what I took away from it was it's a nice reminder that most of us do not think harassment and threatening things and hateful speech online and that kind of stuff is okay. I think that is most of us. And sometimes you forget it really truly is most of us because the least of the ones who are the least are making the most noise and you think they're bigger than they are. But it's most people are good people, decent people. Like it's such a friendly freaking place. BlizzCon is not a place where that kind of stuff really goes down. And it'd be hard for me to take any offense at what he said because he didn't call anyone out either. He just basically said, we think harassment online and this kind of stuff is terrible and people should quit doing it. And, you know, people should be able to play games with each other. These are our friends on the other side of the screen. And that kind of stuff is just good, straight ass up humanity. And I think most people feel that way. And the crowd responded in kind. They were rooting and tooting. There's always going to be somebody. I'm sure somebody out there was offended.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. No, harassment's great.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. It's good.
I love harassment.
Let's go. You know what I was thinking? Breakfast at the Hilton and then let's go harass. Those are my two favorite things to do. Anyway, you were missed. It was way fun. And when that game comes out, we're going to have to play the hell out of it.
And, oh, yeah. We're going to rock and roll it for sure.
It'll be great. Veronica Belmont, everybody. Veronica on Twitter, of course. You've been so busy lately. You got anything cool coming up you want to mention?
Well, I'm doing DTNS today with Tom.
Yay.
So I'll be live on the show at 1:30. And otherwise, yeah, just doing, keeping on with Sword and Laser. We've got our Patreon at patreon.com/swordandlaser, and it's going great. So that's pretty much it right now.
We gave away a bunch of books and bookmarks for you
over
the weekend.
Oh, right on. Thanks.
That was fun. Well, that was awesome. And it's good to have you back. We'll talk to you next time about more video game stuff. Veronica Belmont, everybody. Yay. We'll see you later. Bye. All right. Steven?
Yes.
How you doing over there?
Good.
Good. Are you enjoying the show thus far?
Oh, I love being here. Thank you for having me in. Well, Sorry, Brian can't be here.
Well, I know. Well, you know, he's flying and dining and doing whatever fun things he does.
Speaking of flying, I think the character I'm going to enjoy the most is the character Farrah.
Farrah. I think it's Farrah.
I think I only like it because you can be far away and drop a crap ton of...
She is ballistic, dude.
Yeah.
She'll get up high. She'll float above things. She'll drop...
Fire off like 900 missiles at once.
Yeah, her missile stuff is great. She's basically... I mean, if you want to keep the comparison to TF2, she's like the demo man that can fly in a lot of ways. She's really cool. I also like the healer, one of the healer support classes, and a lot of them do. Like, that's the other thing is there's a million kinds of combinations, so you don't just get stuck with, oh, that's the one healer. There are many healer types in the game.
And I guess I didn't see the part about switching out characters when you respawn.
Right, well, you have to go to a spawn point. So basically, if you're at a spawn point, you can change out any time. If you die in the match, you can change then. So as soon as you die, you can just switch out.
Well, I'm going to be dying like every 5 seconds.
Yeah, so you can change anytime you want, man. They won't know who you are 1 minute to the next. You'll just know you're dead. So.
Yep. Now, can you have multiple versions of the same character? Can you have like two Winstons?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay. You can combine all that. I think my guess is when that's done, because they're really aiming to make that an eSport. And I meant to talk to V about this, but the eSport aspect of it will probably have ways of... You know, like they do with a lot of esports, you'll only be able to have one of a certain kind of character per side and things like that. But that'll all be settings and, you know, customized matches and things like that. I suspect that stuff's going to be all fleshed out and heavy duty. I do believe there will be some kind of a single player.
I hope so, components. Because that's going to be the biggest drawback for me is unless you have people that you can play with regularly, if it's totally only team action playing. Some of us are going to be left out in the cold.
Yeah, and they didn't say much about that. I'm making this up as a guess, but what I'm basing that on is just I know how Blizzard does things, and I just feel like they're going to do that. And even some of the panels, they even pushed away from that idea, but that doesn't mean anything. They've done that before and then come out with what I thought they were going to. So so all I know is it's a great new space for them to be in. They've got the money. Definitely. They've got the dedication, the wherewithal. I've never seen Metzen so excited in my freaking life. I mean,
when does the first Overwatch podcast launch?
Well, let's just say that the idea has been bantered about. Let's just say that. That's all I know. I'll let you know. let's do some emails real quick. We got one here from Felicia, not Day. Although her and I appear in that
the documentary.
Yeah, people should go watch that. Not for me, though. Just watch it because it's awesome. It's really creative and extremely inspiring, I thought. I just happened to be in it a couple of times, which was weird. I didn't know I was going to until I got there. I had no idea. Anyway, hey, saltine crackers and bouillon cubes. You can be bouillon cubes today.
Yay.
I was listening to the archives of TMS and came across the episode where Scott mentions eating 6 tacos in an Office Max parking lot. Actually, I think it was a Office Depot. But anyway, same thing. I think they own each other now. Since I've become a tadpooler, I've only heard it referenced as being in an Office Depot parking lot, including the Scott Fletcher clip that sometimes plays in the intro. Being a former Office Max employee, I felt compelled to make this correction. However, with the recent merger between the two companies and the winning name being Office Depot, this email is now pointless. Oh well. The yellow snow glows by the hobo, Felicia. Yeah, it was always Depot. I may have said Max occasionally, and some people will refer to it as that, but that's just because we're being dumb. That's all. It's kind of like me constantly referring to Top Gun as being about the Air Force and not the Navy.
About the Navy. Yeah.
It's just in my head that way. I can't think of it of another way. And I know that it's the Navy. I get it. I know the Navy has a huge fleet of planes. They all fly off the ships. I got it. I know it's not the same, but still they're in the air. It's a freaking Air Force in a way. I just know it's not officially. I get it. So it's things like that. And there was something else this weekend. What was it? Somebody kept calling me on it. I kept referring to some character in WoW as something, and I know it's wrong, but I just can't remember to say it. That's one of those. Dylan LeBue wrote in. Sounds like someone from...
I'm Dylan LeBue.
Yeah, New Orleans or something, right?
Yep. I'm going to catch him in the new Gambit movie.
That's right. Oh, man, that movie. Hey, Spotted Orb Weaver and Brown Recluse. These are spiders. There have been several spider stories on this and various other Frog Pants shows lately, and I've noticed something, Paula Deen voice, that is very distressing, he says. Oh, now I got to play it. Hold on. Very distressing. Here we go.
It's very distressing.
There you go. There's your Paula Deen. Scott, the word is arachnid. What did I say? Say it with arachnid. Every time I hear you pronounce anachrid, I don't say anachrid. I always say arachnid. Oh, now maybe I don't know.
Hey, you're making a mess of
arachnid. I think I always said arachnid.
Arachnid, yeah.
I think I said it right. They say I say it wrong.
Anachrid? No, that would be wrong.
Yeah, that would be wrong, but I don't think I've said it that way. It's like Vietnam or, no, Vietnamese versus Vietmanese when people say Manese. Mm-hmm. I don't think I do that, but whatever. They say I do. I probably did. Dylan LeBue says that. Thank you, dude. Thanks. Love the show, he says. Email from Ben says, hi, Scott. Since it has come up regularly on the show recently, the pronunciation of consortium is consortium.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but so is about, and they say a boot in a Canada. Boot? So what are you telling me here? I've always said consortium. I think you can say it both ways, can't you?
I think you can. It depends. All right, aluminum.
We're going to find out.
Oh, should we ask Siri?
Pronounce consortium. Here we go. Oh, the fake YouTube one will be good. Let's hear what that says.
Okay.
Consortium or consortium.
Oh, you hear that? Oh, it's in Andor. I see how it is. Let's see if there's another one here. Merriam-Webster's Dictionary. You got your, where's your audio? There, buddy. Okay, here we go. This is some Webster's Dictionary.
Let me think. Here's what I found on the web for how do you pronounce consortium.
See?
Oh.
It says consortium.
Why'd they use Siri to do that?
Well, that's me. I just pulled it up on my phone.
Oh, was that you?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was freaking the web page I pulled up because it never did anything. And then when it made the sound, I thought that was it. All right, let's try another one. Cambridge, the Cambridge Dictionary. Here is the U.S. pronunciation.
Consortium.
Oh. All right. How about the U.K.?
Consortium.
Consortium. Here's another one.
Consortia.
Oh, all right.
What?
Consortia.
All right, so.
Consortium.
I'm being told that it's either is fine. So take that, Ben. All right, buddy. Mr. Smarty Pants over there. Final email. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
My body is ready. This is from Nora, War CIW, when they can make it to the tadpole. Hi, Scott and Brian. Just wanted to chime in on the McDonald's secret menu.
There's a secret menu at McDonald's?
Oh, yeah. We talked about this last week. It's like...
I missed it.
You go in there and do like weird Big Macs and like funky like combinations of things, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, okay.
I still maintain that it depends on the one you go to because I don't think they all know about it. Anyway, hey, Scott and Brian, I just wanted to chime in on that deal. While I work or don't work at McDonald's, I am a 6-year veteran and manager at a Sonic. I do like a good Sonic burger. Employees at fast food restaurants tend to get bored with the normal menu items and create their own. These items are not on the menu and cannot be legally sold as the item in question because of FDA regulations regarding reporting of menu items and ingredients. Interesting. I hadn't even thought about this. Most places will allow you to make these special orders, but you have to order them. What? You have to order them how you want it, not by name. I have seen people written up and even terminated. In one case, a franchise agreement revoked as a result of these secret menus. Love the show, though, Nora. That's super interesting. Nobody has ever mentioned that before because the FDA needs to know what's in a Big Mac or a Whopper, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you make a Whopper Wongo or something, put fish in it, you'd have to report that or you're not. This is interesting. So when I get an animal style burger at In-N-Out, I wonder if they're legally bound not to do that or whatever.
Well, some of them are. I mean, from what I remember, we were talking about this because we end up talking about food, but you know, the McTen-35, that's two separate orders you have to put in. You can't go and say, give me the McTen-35 and they're going to make it for you. You have to go before the breakfast menu, stop serving, and then immediately after they start the lunch menu in order to combine that yourself.
Yeah, well, if anyone has any further thoughts on that, I'd love to hear more because that's very, very interesting.
Yeah, and plus I don't think McDonald's wants to have to post that a, what is the one that's the big one? The
Right.
The Monster Mac or whatever it is.
Yeah,
has like 25,000 calories in it.
Yeah, who the hell? What? Who? No one does this, right? Who would do that? Only a crazy
Somebody
person.
Somebody does.
Someone that wants to die wants to do that.
Heart attack.
That's your emails. Thank you, everybody, for sending them, by the way. themorningstream@gmail.com is where you can send them, and we'll be glad to get them. Tomorrow, Brian Ibbett will be back here doing his thing. But today, Stephen, you were fantastic. Thanks for hanging out, man.
No, thank you for offering.
I feel like I haven't talked to the tadpole at all today, but They've all been very positive as well about your guesting. So we
thank you,
have to do this again in the future when it looks like one of us isn't going to be here.
Next time Brian goes on his big gambling spree to Las Vegas.
That's right. Some in the chat room are calling it the McHeart attack. That sounds about right to me.
That's what I would go for.
Yeah, there you have it. I think that's going to do it for us. Frog pants. What do they say?
The McBeaties instead of diabetes.
Oh, McBeaties. That's great. Scott John, Big Mac has to be made one way. All two beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. Yes, but they can tweak it, man. I'm saying, Ken from Chicago, they can tweak it, buddy. Tweak it. All right, that's it for emails. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. Again, themorningstream@gmail.com is our email address. Our Patreon is patreon.com/TMS. Contribute there and get special cool things and help us get to our level where we can break into having a regular trivia show right here on the Frog Pants Network. Everyone loved that pilot episode last week, so we are kind of jonesing for getting there. On Twitter, we are at Morningstream, at Scott Johnson, at Coverville, and of course, at Major Spoilers. And is there anything happening in your world you want to mention before we go?
Just trying not to cough up my lungs this week, but we got regular shows and other cool things happening over at MajorSpoilers.com.
All right. And then somebody in the middle of the night sneak in and give you a flu shot next year so you don't get that flu this time. And you'll never know somebody poked you. You'd be fine. Did I just say get a poke in the night? I guess I shouldn't have said that. Yeah, that wasn't
very nice
at all.
Everybody hopes for that, right?
Everybody wants one. It's a very hard thing to get. What was I going to say? I forgot now. Oh, I have music. That's what I was going to say. I got a song to take us out on. By the way, all a bunch of other shows were put up. The Instance, Current Geek, the Patreon thing for TMS and some other stuff have all been posted for those interested in all other things at BlizzCon. There's a YouTube video of all this happening. A huge thanks to AlphaGeekRadio.com, who not only simul streams this show, but Todd was there doing all of that stuff for us. Video streams, audio streams, MP3 archives, all of it. He did an amazing job. I cannot say enough about Todd
and this weekend.
And by the way, Jocelyn and Dills are a thing. There you go. I just wanted to put that out there as
well.
Hot.
I saw the pictures.
Yeah, they're a cute couple, and we had a blast with them. I didn't even mention the bowling night on Thursday. That was really fun, too. Anyway, more stories coming up this week. My voice should heal, and I'll be able to talk normal tomorrow. Steven, thanks again for hanging out with me, man.
Thank you, Scott.
Song to go out on. I picked another one from the Best of Booty collection. This one from 2012, I want to say. I think so. And let me make sure of that before I say that for sure. Yes. Is that 2012? Oh, I'm sorry, 2009. So this is an older one. And this is Any Way You Want It, Syntax Error Remix with Journey versus Rhythm Scholar. Now, that may all sound weird and nonsensical, but I really like the sound of this. And if you're a Journey fan, I think it's a nice little tribute. So we're going to play that now. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll have Chinbeard. We'll have Jury. We'll have a whole week of fun. So stay tuned for all of that. Thanks again, Steven.
Bye.
See everybody. See you tomorrow.
is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Snoopy, Snoopy, poop dog.
Yeah.
All right. That was fun.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, Scott.
We owe you one for doing that for us.
Yeah, no, not.